And it won't come out because they'll believe the aspects of you that had authority. Now, if you're a wishy-washy and don't believe, like if a person's on his deathbed, so you think you're going to heal me, doctor? You say, I can't tell everybody they're going to be better. Do you think I'll be well, doctor? I'll tell you one thing I think. I think I've corrected this subluxation. I think that when I correct it, I think that you will be better tomorrow. Do you think I'll live, doctor? I can't say that. I can tell you one thing. You'll be better and you'll have a great chance. It's all up to you and to God. Do you think I've got a chance, doctor? Yes, I think you've got a chance to live. I don't have to talk much about deathly pain. How many people have terminal cases anymore? I want you to just look around and raise your hands high, guys, if you've got some real sick people. Just look around. Real sick people. Look how few it is. You know how this profession was built? Was it built on cricks, backaches, and strains? A strain has always felt a little bit better when you put some cold packs on it or some hot packs on it. And they train you now to put ultrasound, medicosinolators, every other thing known to man on it. Is that what built our profession? The cricks, the backaches, and the strains, and nobody. See that lady? I can't believe it. I think I'm going to shut them doors. Big Ed, don't let them escape here. All right. On the floor. Get your chair. What happened to the sick people? What happened to the sick people in chiropractic offices? Did the public say that these chiropractors can be licensed because they are effective on arm pains, leg pains, headaches, backaches? We are better at manipulative procedures on the backs than our physical therapist or medical doctor. Is that why we are here? What happened to our sick people? Are we really actually out looking for sick people? Do we have a philosophy of dealing with sick people? I mean sick. Maybe dying. You say, what's he talking about? The mind or what happens to it. Some of you probably don't realize that the mind sets back the clock of death. You go check the records. People die less in December. The old people do. You know why? Why do they die less in December? Because they've willed it to be so. God, give me the strength. I want to live till Christmas. You ever thought about that? The will stops the death angel. Now, what am I saying to you? If you know how to communicate with these people with authority and you know what you're doing and you're able to communicate with other people and you're able to do that phenomena in chiropractic that we call the adjustment. And a lot of the students and the younger people out here call it a manipulation. I don't know whether any of you admit it or not. Do you call it a manipulation? How many people call it a manipulation? One? Two? How many call it an adjustment? Yeah. Give yourself a hand. Got to be careful. You want to start making slips. You start taking prisoners inside of yourself. First thing you know, that manipulation will creep up onto you. How can I massage a person with diabetes? How can I massage a person with cancer? How can I massage a person with multiple sclerosis? How can I massage or even accept a person that has a diseased entity? What can a manipulative procedure possibly do with that? I think the crux of what I'm trying to say is the first thing that we want to pipe into our inner consciousness is what it is that we do in chiropractic. What do we say? Notice the significance of what I mentioned there. What do we say? I didn't say what does the scientific community say. I said what do we say in chiropractic? We say that subluxations retard and impede the full expression of life in the system. That's what we say. No one else says that. We don't say that we're good at mechanical removal of mechanical causatives for pain and discomfort. Is that correct? We do that too. We say that subluxations cause the body not to function properly. A non-functioning body gives the opportunity for pathogens to come in. Pathogens invade the body, diseases develop. Pain and discomfort are the result. We're speaking about a primal cause. Are we saying that bacteria don't exist in these various diseased entities? Is that what we say? We're saying the primal sense up here at the top, in the beginning, subluxations occur. Why they occur, we don't know. We begin to say emotional, nutritional, psychological, psychiatric, physical causes of subluxations. Do we know any of that? We're just adding in and alluding to all the possibilities. It's not necessary for us to know what caused that subluxation. BJ and all of the early pioneers never said this is the only way to remove nerve interference or the only way to help sick people. What did our early people say? It's the most practical way. The most practical way to restore normal function to the body is to reduce the subluxation, to correct it. Now, the thing I mentioned earlier is very simple. You students back here, it took me a long time to learn this. I got a pack of keys. I know that they'll fall. This gentleman here knows. I saw you at the meeting, student meeting the other day, didn't you? Did I see you at the student meeting? I didn't, did I? What if I drop these keys? What's going to happen? I didn't get to tell the students the other day. Yeah, but I saw the gingerbread person, brightly lit, and a little arrow went to his neck. You know what my inner vision dictated? You know why it went to the neck? Why didn't it go to the whole spine? Anyone having an idea? The reason that the arrow didn't go to the entire spine is because BJ said there was only one cause. And how could I listen to all these other people? Here was the authority that said we have reduced the conquests and the revelation of the subluxation to one specific area of the human anatomy. The primary causative element is the vertebral subluxation of the atlanteo-axial subluxation in the upper cervical area. Now, I want it to be that way. Now, good critical point. Where do you want the subluxation to be? Are you still out here dreamily looking for it, trying to prove it to yourself that this is works or this doesn't work? Or do you want the cause of these patients' problems to be in the bacterial aspects or the psychological, the emotional, the mechanical aspects? What do you want? Very important. What do you want chiropractic to be? What worked for me works for you. The principle is the same. We're talking about principles. How many golfers we got in here? A lot of golfers? I'm glad to see that. Guy back here raised his hand every time. You're going to be a good man. If you want to have a 5-iron, you know what a 5-iron, 4-iron, 2-iron, 3-iron looks like? They got different slants. A 2-iron's almost, a 1-iron is nearly flat. A 2-iron, 3-iron, 4-iron, 5-iron, 7-iron, 9-iron, and a scoop, a wedge. You hit the ball the same way. The principle, when you hit the ball, you can practice how far it'll go and what lift it'll have. You see what I mean? In your conceptualization, what do you want chiropractic to be? in order to have a mind made up? Is it some drugless therapeutic procedure that we manage certain conditions and certain disease possibilities and certain responsibilities? Is that what it is? I mean, the essence of it. When I sat there on my workbench, saw this little lighted person up in here, and a little arrow came along and hit him in the neck. He went dim. Saul, you heard me talk about this years ago, even when you and I was in school. I made a great mistake right then. A great mistake it took 18 months to overcome. And some of my colleagues never did get it. Can you imagine a chiropractor going through his entire life and never getting the essence of it? Got all the books and all the knowledge, all the state boards, all the wisdom, all the national boards, all the international boards, but never got the message. Never understood it. Got everything. Is it possible? B.J. was concerned about the education of the chiropractor years ago. And he said, if we keep handling all these procedures in here, only thing we'll have different in the medical doctors is the thump in the back. Is that what's different with you in chiropractic? Is that what you're out here to, is that what this challenge is? That's what this urgency is all about? You might be even saying at this time, what's urgent about this? I tell a little old story about these people out playing softball. Maybe you can relate to this. And you know how little leagues get all wrapped up, the families all wrapped up, and the mothers are wrapped up, and the daddies are wrapped up. We're only looking at one thing, our child out there. So the ball game's all tied up, the bases are loaded. This little guy comes up, and he got two strikes, three balls. Then the other ball, the little pitcher throws it down, and the umpire just sits there and doesn't say anything. And the people, it's a hushed group. It's definitely divided, these parents against these parents. And one parent says, what is it, Mr. Ump? And the other parent says, you tell us what is it, Mr. Ump. He raises up and he sees him and shaking his fist. Tell us what it is. What is it? You call it. And the umpire says tactfully and lovingly and friendly and with authority, it ain't nothing until I calls it. Laugh. It's good. The reason you don't get any messages is because you don't want anything. You don't know. What do you want your chiropractic to be? What kind of a chiropractor do you want to be? Do you want to be negative your entire professional career, defensive about chiropractic, defensive about these guys in DE, or the straight chiropractors, or the principal chiropractor? You want to be defensive? You think the medical doctors, in some strange way, if we would all clear up our jargon and all get together professionally, develop a professional something, that they would say, okay, boys, girls, take over our throne room. You be the leaders. We failed all these years. Diseases really don't cause, bacteria really doesn't cause diseases. It was the subluxation all along. You guys were right. Is that what you'll... Will you get that out of the medical doctors? Is that what we are working for, all this scientific CCE, full accreditation, professional responsibility? Is that what we're thinking we're going to do? Do we think that up in here? That they're going to turn over all they've done and spent trillions of dollars and they can't find the subluxation? Who's fooling who? Is that what you think? That we spent trillions and we can't locate the subluxation? Is that reasonable thought? Does that make any sense? I know it don't make any sense to you, does it? That's the reality of the pragmatic aspects of this professional conflict. That's what we're got this urgency for. We have the urgency to make it penetrate down into our inner consciousness. And when you have an urgent desire to go out and reach people with this new message, what happens? If you have an urgency, but you have a weak-kneed, wishy-washy, wishing-type concept, oh, I just wish I could get this damn day over where I could go out and play golf. I can go out to the country club and play a little bit. You're going to keep on failing. You're building for failure. You're building for 100 visits a week. Maybe. That's a big business. Can you imagine 100 people you've influenced into your in their lives to come in for you to demonstrate the efficiency of chiropractic on? Are you just wishing it, or you want to develop an urgency? What kind of chiropractic do you want? Or you don't care about chiropractic? All you want is to make another dollar, or to get in a position where you can retire early, or don't have to work so hard, or just work, I only work three days a week. You know why most people just work 3 days a week, Frank? I come all the way to New York, Frank don't call me. You didn't even call.
You didn't leave a number.
You left your land.
You know where I am, you found your way over here, you didn't even call. I came by your office. I had a confrontation with your guard. And you still didn't call. I even recruited your patient. He said, I am damn bad. It's bad and getting worse. Now, he didn't say it exactly like I said. He said, you ain't like some of these other in guys that come by here. I just won't say it. I don't know you well enough yet. I am still hurt, Frank. Hurt. If I'd have knew where you all was, I would have come by and you would have called me, wouldn't you? If I left you a card. If I had left you a card, would you have called? I told the guy who I was. I wanted to see you. I left you 3 cards. He took them all down. Bet a dollar he kept one of them. That's the message I asked you. What do you want? What do you really want to do? Do you want to be afraid every time you adjust a patient because you don't know what's wrong with him? What kind of disease has he got? They've all got diseases. The minute we are born, aren't we going downhill? Are we? How many people have been here for a long time? I notice a lot of my friends, they keep disappearing. You know what I'm saying? Wish I knew how to beat that last rap. I don't mean going off into heaven. I'm talking about the religious aspects of this thing. I'm talking about me. I believe I am getting younger, though. Every time I come to New York, you got to admit I look better. Got my New York stuff on. You like my thing? I like it. What do you see for yourself? If you don't see for yourself the kind of chiropractor you are, how are you going to see how much business you want? You got to practice somewhere. What kind of lines do you draw? You drawing any lines? Where do you draw? Sharon? That's your name? I met with Sharon the other night. She got a nice big practice to one of our prime students. 300 or 400 visits a week, is that too many? Too little. In your own personal office. 500? Can you imagine a lady doctor doing 400 or 500 visits a week every week? I asked her a question. I said, if you want to make more money, I heard you was wanting to make more money. She didn't say anything. I said, if you do, you need to charge for professional time, not for additional services. I knew she wouldn't do that. She said, if I want to make more money, I'll see more people. Isn't that a stimulating idea? If I want to make more money, I want to see more people. I'm not trying to figure out how to go up to $80 a visit. How many of you have got $80 in your pocket right now? Look at this poor group. Raise your hand who's got $100 in their pocket. Not you out of town, all right. Bob, you didn't raise your hand.
Have you carried money?
And I'm demonstrating what Sharon had. You know what she had? She had her mind made up. She's going to raise her income. She's going to see more people. Now, you don't have to tell me this. How many of you are dissatisfied with your fee structure? You can raise your hand on that. You don't want to admit your weaknesses, eh? How many of you are dissatisfied when you hear the guy up the street say, I'm doing $80 a visit? That doesn't make you weak at all? If he said, I'm charging $65 a visit. I'm saying this because that's a weakness in a lot of our people, not necessarily our people, but a lot of chiropractors are. or negative because somebody else has learned how to beat the codes or to beat the system. I'm going to bring up what Sharon says. If I want to make more money, I'll see more people. If I can't make as much money in that office, then I'll open up another office where I can see more people. So the principle is, the more I give, the more I receive. What's the chiropractic service? That's the next question you have to ask and answer for yourself. What is the chiropractic service? After you understand that your mission is to professionally, and some people don't like this word, diagnosis. I'll clarify that for you here in just a minute. And I've talked to all levels, the hate straights, the super straights, the straights, the DE people, the other elements. Plug me back in right here. What was I saying that for? You don't know? Can somebody tell me what I was making that point for? Diagnosis. I got it. We don't diagnose diseases. I don't care if you are in the epitome of success in the state of New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Michigan, Georgia. If you're in a hierarchy, medical doctors have been very clever. Let me just give you a brief idea of who we are and what we are. You know that we are all, if you look at it realistically and pragmatically, we are limited practitioners. Legislatively, did you know that? Is anything wrong with accepting your fate and your lot in this thing? You think that's a bad thing to have the people out? Medical doctors did that deliberately. The whole body of the being is treated and diagnosed by the medical doctors. You understand that, Gabe? That's the practice of medicine. And if that was the practice of medicine, what are we doing here? You follow what I'm saying? How did we get here? Something else to build up your esteem. I'm working on your inner core here. You may think I'm just rambling out in the yard, but I'm giving you some valuable stuff you can't get just everywhere, especially you students back here. I'm going to get around to saying something that tickles your feet after a while. They'll tickle you. You're limited practitioners, medically speaking. Here's another significant point. We don't diagnose diseases because you know what that is? In every state law, in every province, all over the world, medical doctors diagnose the diseases of the entire body. You got to get over that hump, too, in order to be proud of the esteem that we've got. They've given us a specific area of human anatomy to work with. Did you know that, too? How many of you understand that? They've given us a specific area of human anatomy. Who is like us in the professions? The optometrist, the podiatrist, and the dentist are also limited specialized fields, not specialists. You know, we're not a specialist in medical terms. We are in a specialty field. And that in every state, I don't even have to look at the New York law. We have a specialized approach to what we do. And we have to confine ourselves into that special area. In other words, what I'm trying to say is the next time you go to your dentist, everybody go to a dentist? Give me a hand. How many dentists have ever examined your hemorrhoids? Or your privates? Or your rectum, and for any measure? Or your bust, for that matter? You know, men have busts too, but I never had a dentist look at mine. What I'm saying, if you go to a dentist and he examines you in other parts other than the oral cavity, you ought to call up the dental board and say, hey, we got this guy over here. I'm not making any pronouncements, just that he's examining my privates. I want to know all these questions here. Okay, chiropractors, what do we do? In every state, biomechanical, neuromuscular, gait, structural disorders of the human body, primarily the spine. for a specific reason. Are we out here adjusting fingers? Can we make adjustments on fingers? On toes? Elbows? Shoulders? Are we out here diagnosing shoulders and that sort of thing? Is that our primary aspect? Is that why we are here? Anybody know the criteria for an adjustment? How do you determine a subluxated finger? Who knows? What about a subluxated foot and a subluxated toe and a subluxated cranium? Anyone know any criteria? We see all this sports chiropractic talking about adjusting the feet. How many of you have heard, had some feet adjusting, some techniques? What's the criteria? What's the chiropractic definition of a subluxation? What does it say? One of the important, significant criteria of the chiropractic subluxation that gives it profound influence, that gives us such an impact on humanity and on all vertebrates. It has to insult the nervous system to the extent that it retards the vivification or the life-giving process of the body. If it doesn't do that, is it a chiropractic subluxation? Or is it a misalignment? We can have misalignments down in through here. Does it qualify for the main reason that we are existence? Think hard now. What happened when those light, that little arrow went to the person's neck? The body, the entire being went dim. What was my mission? What was my reason for being? What was the chiropractic reason for being that I wanted to know? I wanted to know how was I to escape the reality that all of these diseases were manifesting themselves at one stage or another in a human being. And that medical doctors said that chiropractic was fakery, quackery, chicanery, fraud, and that the practitioners were ignorant, uneducated, unethical quacks, charlatans, and cultists. What gave that meaning significance? What was the idea of the little gingerbread guy? The light coming off? You know, don't you? What's the significance of seeing this phenomena in your mind's eye? Very easy. When we make a chiropractic adjustment, we permit the divine nature of life, the cosmic reality of life, improve its quality in this system. And that the same wisdom, the same energy, the same power, the same persistency, the same love that activates these planets, this whole energetic world out here, is at our command to alleviate, to make possible a full expression? BJ used to say, if I could have just adjusted old Hitler, said I might have changed the course of history. Can you think that big into the intellectual man, the educated man, the physical man, the spiritual man? Is it that profound and significant to you, this narrow bunch of rogue practitioners have discovered a phenomena? Can you imagine the day comes that people will sit down and do a motion palpation, a structural biomechanical evaluation with instruments, with palpation, with nerve grafts? And that all doctors will be making their pronouncement that this is the most significant discovery since the pulse? You ever thought about that? What's going to happen when all of the doctors are out here, the first thing I want to see if your body is functioning properly? Oh, you think you need some nutritional advice? Have you had your spine checked yet? Are there any subluxations that would permanently retard the absorption process in your body? That would retard your body's ability to absorb its food? Well, no, I haven't. This is the most significant test since the pulse. Can you imagine not ever there was a time when we didn't recognize what the pulse meant? Do you still open, say, let me see your tongue? What is a tongue with a, what do you call that, a tongue? A yellow-looking tongue. Anybody got the idea? Yellow tongue. That's a good idea. Put your tongue out. Let me see it. How many of you do that in your exam? Let me see your tongue. What are we looking at your tongue for? Let me check your heart. Let me check your urine. Let me check your blood. Let me look at your eyes. Let me see some of your stool. And all of these great dynamic healers of all the world have never one time listened to the chiropractors. They say, how many can't palpate and tell this guy's got a little problem right there on the third, see? Can't you imagine the days coming when they're going to say, look, first, before any other diagnostic procedure, before any administration of any drug, are you functioning properly? This is the greatest discovery since the pulse. All of this tongue washing, pulse taking, heart, cardiac, fecal examinations, urine examinations, sniff tests, all of this. You didn't get that sniff test. It's insignificant compared to this discovery that was discovered by an old ignorant quack. That's how we looked at Pasteur. That's how we looked at Hippocrates. Is your esteem coming up just a teeny, teeny bit? That you've got a narrow method that we've been granted a right on the national level, on each state level has granted us the right, not a right, a privilege to practice this profession in this significant manner, and the opposition is still saying as late as 2 weeks ago that who believes that diseases are caused from pinched nerves. How are you going to rationally go in and deal with guys like that? Unless you've got some made-up minds out here. Now, we can get our plans of operation, get our political basis, clean up our language where it's legislatively acceptable. Suppose you know what you're doing. I tell a story about Rocky, and it's significant to this point. You remember Rocky I? Rocky was beaten badly to a pulp, to an inhuman expression of action in itself is the boxing match. Two competitors wanting to destroy the other one. You know that? You go in, it's a fight. There was a real fight last week when the Bears overdone the Giants. Did any of you Giant fans? Our coach, Mr. Parsons, said, we didn't make any mistakes. They whipped our ass. That's what happened. Rocky came out, and the significant part of this is what I'm telling you here is a made-up mind. Rocky said, and he was the trainer. We're going to call this thing off. We got to stop. Everybody was crying and boo-hooing. What did Rocky say? I ain't going down no more. Now, can you, in the face of negativity and defeat and frustration and hunger, be able to say, I ain't going down no more? And you say it with authority? Didn't you feel uplifted when Rocky said it? Boy, I was so tickled that guy made up his mind. And we saw it in the other movie that said he lost the eye of the tiger. You know what that is? Some of us never had the eye of the tiger. Can you imagine chiropractors never developing the eye of the tiger? Don't you know that we're entrepreneurs? We're not professionals out here holding up some high idea. We're entrepreneurs. You know what that means? I have a service to perform. I want to promote and advocate and promulgate and expand that service to as many people as I possibly can for a profit. Is that what you really think? You ever thought about the profitable aspects? It's got to be for a profit. One of our Georgia Tech men made the following remark, very important. Said, we build boats, we build ships for a profit if we can. for a loss if we must. But we always build good boats, good ships. That's what made this country. Other people don't have to be faced with this mechanism of understanding what we are and this facing this challenge out here of all this hostility and this resentment against us. What if what you do works? All of this medical $400 billion health costs is reduced. Did you know that? The industrial health complex tumbles if you and I are correct. Now put your hands together if you think we are correct. They, the opposition, consider themselves the guardians of the public health. They've earned that right. If we take that away from them, we are going to have to earn that right to take this away from them. Now, what's the physical therapist going to do? What did we set out to do? Frank, I won't ask you this, but I know you're here. Gabe, what did we do? Sanzo, what did we do? Elkin, what did we do? You young people. They tell you now the physical therapists are going to be primary health care providers and steal your business. That's true. What are you going to do when the hospitals say we give manipulations in the hospital? Are they going to say we're going to give adjustments? Are they going to say we give adjustments to physical therapists? Or what are they going to say? Manipulative procedures. We set out to do that. Didn't we set out to have the scientific community recognize us? We got 10 foreign governments. I don't mean some peons in these poor countries we're dealing with. Presidents, ministers of state, ministers of health want chiropractic researchers in their hospitals in foreign lands to demonstrate chiropractic adjustments for their people. Now, all these credentials that we've got have caused that. Foreign governments want us, and we are in 3 foreign countries now with 6 researchers. China has written, come to show us about chiropractic. India has written, come to show us about chiropractic. 6 African countries already have their papers in. Send us researchers in our hospitals to explain chiropractic. Rwanda has been to Marietta for 14 days. Paraguay has been there for 2 weeks, studying what chiropractic procedures can do for sick people. Mauritius, the Sudan, Gabon, Burkina Faso, want chiropractic researchers. They don't ask us about what does the medical doctor say. They want our brand of chiropractic. I guess what it boils down to this, and I do want you to write this down. We are principled people. Chiropractic is a principle. The innate healing consciousness inside of beings is a principle. We are dealing with principles here, principles that work independently of any human being. And what makes it so wonderful? The strongest thing that I know of for a chiropractor to be successful is to have immense faith in his ability to correct the patient's problem. And he knows that he knows that he knows. I think what I'm going to tell you that you're here for today is to develop the supreme confidence, the feeling that I mentioned earlier, you CAs, you wives, and you doctors. I'm in the clearing process of opening the mind and giving you some enthusiasm, some dedication, and I hope I'm penetrating not to your heads but to your innate consciousness. If you know how to deal with sick people, how to solve their problems chiropractically, you will build an immense and enormous business if you've got it organized. The knowledge that you have organized into an action program. And this action is aimed toward a specific goal. And the specific goal that I've charged you with is 500 visits per week. That's how simple it is. Organizing everything that you do. It's organizing. That's what we do, is organize what you know in chiropractic to action programs that help you deliver that service to people toward a definite major purpose of seeing 500 visits per week. Now, that 500 visits per week should gross you anywhere from $500,000 to $750,000. Write that down. $500,000 to $750,000. That's a lot of bread, isn't it? That's a very small amount. You better put that $500,000. I'm coming back here to see. I want you to write it down. $500,000 a cotton picking year. Dave, have you got it down? You don't have a pencil? No, that's all right. Santo's got one. $500,000 to $750,000. A lot of guys said, don't talk about money. What do you mean we're not going to talk about money? You're an entrepreneur. We're graduating, not professionals out here to dignify the world. We ask you out and make money. Right? Is that what you're in here for? Just going to be a nice professional, go home, wrap your hand, live in a silk cocoon all your life, your students. You're in an entrepreneur, in an entrepreneurial system. You want to learn how to make it go, right? Make business. I'm not talking too much money, am I? Can y'all think in terms of a half a million or 3 million? Or now, those of you that are doing 500,000. Rod, you got that down, haven't you? Frank, you got it?
Yes, sir.
The Smeltzer, you got it? Both Smeltzers? You didn't call me to Friday either. And you didn't call at all. Where's your 500,000? What's these black beads for? Does this mean something? Is this some special significance?
Yes.
It is?
Like this, 500,000.
Oh. Y'all listen now. I know Smeltzer tells me some of his secrets. Y'all listen to this. Are you doing 500,000 a year?
Yes.
Are you doing 600,000?
Yes.
650?
Yes.
700?
Yes.
750?
Yes.
You're getting mighty damn weak. You better talk louder. Get in my mic. Are you doing close to 800,000?
Yes.
Are you over 800,000?
Yes.
God, I don't believe that first lesson. I'll tell you one thing. Smeltzer's learned the thing. Don't be outlied. That's one thing. Now, what I'm saying, if Smeltzer can do it. Did you all remember? I'm always kidding people. Well, about my dark hair, you know. I was with Jerry and his beautiful bride here, Paulette, in Florida here not long ago. I was putting gray on my hair to make it gray, make it more mature. But when I leave Florida, it turns back to its natural color, you follow. I hear somebody gagging and choking up here. You get like me, you can't hear, you don't have any teeth, and your hair is turning dark all the time. That's what gives you the power to do it. I don't know whether Smeltzer is making any money or not. And how many visits do you and Mrs. Dr. Smeltzer? I know damn well she'd be machine. Grits over to Smeltzer's house, they're going to put sand in them because I call her Mrs. Smeltzer. Mr. Smeltzer, and this is Dr. Smeltzer, and you're Mr. Smeltzer. Right? And the patients come in to Dr. Smeltzer there and say, where is Mr. Smeltzer? She said, he's up in the front office taking care of my books. Is that correct now? I don't know how true that is. You remember not long ago, Oral Roberts says that, you know, first thing he said, I'm going to die if I don't get $1 million. Did you remember he said that? What happened? So help me God, in 2 or 3 weeks, this guy that runs his race track down in our town, Sarasota, he gives him $1 million. Because I wrote this guy, Khashoggi. You heard of Mr. Khashoggi, haven't you? You know what I asked Mr. Khashoggi for? $75 million. You're going to think it's funny when he comes over and gives me $25, though. Now, Oral got even more boastful. After he found out that people would follow his suggestion.
To continue this exciting topic, please play the next cassette in the series.